Welcome to the Warsaw Community Church podcast, where you have a chance to listen to our most recent Sunday morning message. Please take a minute and subscribe to this podcast, and if you are interested, learn more about us by checking out our website at www.warsaw.cc. We hope this message inspires you, helps build your faith, and gives you a new perspective on your journey. And now, here's today's message.
Well, hey, good morning, WCC, and I want to say welcome to those of you who are in the room and those of you joining us online. My name is Aaron, and I get to serve here as one of the pastors, and I get to work with our high school students in the youth ministry. But today, we're actually in a series called Greater Reward, where we're talking about different spiritual disciplines and practices that we can hopefully start to build and incorporate in our daily lives. As we talk about these spiritual disciplines and practices, it's important to know and to remember and to understand that these disciplines and these practices aren't the things that save us, right? Ultimately, it's our relation. It's Christ. It's Jesus Christ. It's by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone that we can be saved before a holy God. And so these practices are really, it's Jesus who saves us, I read in a book that there's an author who says that the spiritual disciplines are like taking ourselves and moving us into the current of the power of God. And so the discipline takes us and sets us in a place where we could see God a little bit more clearly. And so when we talk about these things, it's important that these aren't the things that save us. It's really the greater reward isn't the disciplines. The greater reward is spending time in the presence of God. That's the greater reward, and the disciplines is just one way we can see God a little more clearly. And in other words, if I could sum all of that up and say, like, what is the point of this series? What are we trying to talk about? Well, when we're talking about Christianity and these Christian disciplines, we're talking Christianity is not a try harder religion. Christianity is a draw nearer relationship. Christianity is not a try hard. It's not try harder. Oh man, I failed. I'm just going to try harder next time, right? Like, and then when I fail again, I'm going to get frustrated. And I'm just going to try harder and try harder and try harder. Christianity is a draw nearer relationship. And in James 4, we get a picture of that. James was the half brother of Jesus. He got to see Jesus really closely in his time here on earth. Thought he was crazy for a little bit, but then later on wrote this letter and is like, hey, he's the real deal. Right? So this is what he writes in James 4, 7 in the first part 8. He says, so humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Some translations write it, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. When we talk about like promises in God's word, promises that we can claim, it's like, this is true, and this could be true for me. Like, draw near to God, and he will draw near. That's a promise of God's word. When we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. And so the goal of this series isn't, oh, hey, I want to be a better Christian. It's, I want to draw near to God, and I want to see who he is a little more clearly and let him change me. And so today, if this is the first message you're catching, we want to encourage you to go back and catch the last couple weeks of what Todd and Denny have shared. But today, what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about the spiritual discipline of meditation. And now when I say the discipline of meditation in a room this size and an audience like this online, my guess is that there's probably just about as wide of an understanding of what meditation is. My guess is some of us in here today, when we think about meditation, we probably think of reasons why we should or should not meditate, right? Maybe some of us in here, we grew up in a church where they lumped meditation in with going to the movie theater or playing cards or maybe even dancing. And it's like, it's so bad. Stay away from it. Don't do it. Meditation is wrong. It's of the world. My guess is that some of us, maybe we grew up in a church that lumped meditation in with the rest of those practices. But here's the thing. I believe that when we understand what is the true definition of biblical Christian meditation, I really believe that it'll change who we are. It'll help us grow in our relationship with God, and it'll even impact the way that we live and the way that we interact with people that we come into on a daily basis. So before we talk about what biblical Christian meditation is, let's take a few moments to talk about what Christian or what meditation is not, what the Christian understanding and idea of meditation is not. Now, when I hear the word meditation, ever since I was a little kid, I loved watching movies, and in particular, I watched like three movies like nonstop. It was like Space Jam with Michael Jordan, Iron Will, which is like some old Disney movie, and then The Lion King. Right? So like those are like my three favorite movies, and I can guarantee to this day, whenever my parents see those movies, they can probably quote like 90% of those movies because I watch them all the time. And when I hear the word meditation, still even to this day, as I was preparing, I always get the picture of the Lion King in the scene where Rafiki is sitting there. If you haven't seen the movie, Rafiki's like this old wise baboon who comes into contact with Simba, who's supposed to be the leader of the tribe and the pride. And he's sitting on this rock meditating, and Simba's like, wait, you said you know my father? He's like, correction, I know your father. Like, he's like meditating. It's weird. I always get the picture. Anyways, but whenever I hear the word meditation, I always think of that your fingers have, you know, your legs have to be crossed and all this. And the reason we think like that today is because we think, our culture thinks of meditation through the Eastern lens, the Eastern practice, the Hindu practice of meditation. So what is Christian meditation? Christian meditation is not the same thing as Hindu meditation. It's not the same thing as the Eastern understanding of what that is. See, the Eastern understanding of what meditation is, like the end goal of meditation in the Eastern understanding, is to empty your mind and to experience a state of nirvana. That's the end goal of Eastern meditation. It's like, once I've emptied my mind, that's good. I've meditated. I can move on with my day. That is not the Christian understanding of what meditation is. And lastly, one thing that Christian biblical meditation is not, is I don't believe biblical meditation, I don't believe that it's complicated or difficult. So what is Christian meditation? What is it? What is the definition? What does it look like? Well, Richard Foster, in his book, Celebration of Disciplines, writes it this way. He says, it's simply this. It's to hear God's voice and to obey his word. It's to hear God's voice and to obey his word. The end goal of Christian biblical meditation is to hear God's voice and to obey his word. And when we practice Christian meditation, when we put it into the practice of our daily lives, it should always lead us towards repentance and obedience. In other words, when we truly meditate on who God is, what his word says, and the works that he's done, when we ponder those things, when we think about those things, when we speak of those things, when we meditate on those things, it's going to bring us into repentance and obedience, not out of the sake of religion, but obedience motivated by love, a deeper love for who God is. Foster goes on to write this. He says this. He says, it is that simple. Christian meditation is that simple, to hear God's voice and to obey his word. I wish I could make it more complicated for those who like things difficult. I don't know about you, but I like to make things more complicated than they really are. It involves no hidden mysteries, no secret mantras, no mental gymnastics, no esoteric flights into the cosmic conscience. In other words, what he's saying here is that the practice of meditation is not reserved for those who are of some level of IQ. It's like, oh, well, you have an IQ of 19. Okay, meditation's not for you, but you've got an IQ of 20, so meditate. You should meditate then. He's saying Christian meditation, it's simple. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he's a modern day contemporary martyr, and he grew up in Nazi Germany and was known for helping Jews escape Nazi captivity, but was later found out and killed for that. But he was asked, hey, why do you meditate? And his answer was simply this: I meditate because I'm a Christian. See, up until this century, Christian meditation has been something that's just been assumed that you do. If you've been saved, you meditate. You spend time in the presence of God. And it's from that time that we live differently, that he changes who we are from the inside out. And it's what the Bible calls sanctification. It's what he uses to sanctify us. But up until this time period, the last 100 years, really, we've moved away from it because we started, as Christians, the Christian church has started to adopt the idea and the understanding that it's Eastern meditation. See, Eastern meditation, the end goal is to empty your mind. The end goal of Christian meditation is to empty your heart of the ugliness that's inside and let God heal you and make you whole. The end goal of Eastern meditation is to empty your mind. The end goal of Christian meditation is to empty your heart and let God speak in to the truth of your identity, the truth of who he's made you to be. That's the end goal. It's to hear God's voice and to obey his word. So the question is, that's what Christian meditation is, but why do we need to meditate? Why is this a practice that I should incorporate into my life? Well, meditation for the Christian meditation should be like sunlight and water to a plant. See, the practice of meditation is really, it is one of the practices that sustains the life of a follower of God. And this picture of water and sunlight to a plant isn't something that I came up with. This is actually a picture that some of the authors of Scripture, they paint for us. See, David, before Jesus even came into the world, before he came to live his 33 years and to die a death that we deserve to die and then raise again and then ascend into heaven, before he even came into the picture, David painted a picture for us on what meditation looks like, what biblical meditation is. And Paul does the same thing for us. And in Psalm 1, he paints that picture for us. See, Psalm is one of it's the largest book in the Bible, and it's one of the largest collections of writings of prayers and psalms and meditations. And to start out the entire book of Psalm, David writes this. He says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow in the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers." Now, here's the thing. David isn't saying, don't be around the wicked, don't be in the presence of sinners, and don't spend time with mockers. He's saying, don't follow the advice of the wicked. See, here's the thing. Why do we need to meditate? Well, we live in a world that's going to try to pass us advice that isn't going to help us in our relationship with God. He's saying, but don't find joy in following the advice of the wicked. You're going to get advice from the world every day that you go out. You're going to get advice from the world, but he's saying, don't find joy in following the advice of the wicked. And don't stand around with sinners. Really, what David means here when you study the meaning, he's saying, hey, don't participate in the things that aren't going to help you grow in your relationship with God. Right? If you know that it's wrong, don't participate in it. Find the wisdom from God's word. Or don't join in with mockers. If other people are standing around tearing other people down and speaking falsehoods about the identity of others, don't join in on that. But instead, find joy in verse 2. See, don't find joy in those things. Find joy in this. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. And here's the picture he paints for us. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. Why do we need Christian meditation? Why do we need to meditate on God's word and what he's done? This is a promise here. He says, they are like trees planted along riverbanks, bearing fruit in each season. And Paul goes on in Colossians to paint this same kind of picture for us. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, he says this. He says, let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Well, why should we meditate, right? Why should we incorporate this into our life? Well, first off, it's, to put it simply, it's spending time in the presence of God. I want us to think about that truth. Think about the truth that we get the opportunity because of Jesus Christ. See, in the Old Testament, there was only one person who could go into the presence of God, into the Holy of Holies, and if they weren't fully clean, they would die right there on the spot. But when Jesus Christ came and he died and the veil tore in two, it removed that barrier. And because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us, and we get the opportunity to sit in the presence of God. Sometimes, and I'm speaking really to myself and for myself, sometimes I get so focused when I wake up in the morning, I get so focused on my to-do list. Who do I have to meet with? Man, what needs done around the house? What do I have to do for school? What do I have to do for all these different things? And it's easy to look past the opportunity. Man, I get the opportunity today to spend time in the presence of God. And oftentimes I go into my day, it's easy to go into my day in my own wisdom and in what I think is wise for myself and what I have to do. But really, when we spend time and we take time to incorporate the discipline of meditation into our lives, it sets and it aligns our hearts with God and his heart and his desire for us and the people that we're going to come into contact with. Because here's something I want us to know about fruit. Now, here's the thing. I'm not a green thumb. Any plant that I've ever had or small pet that I've ever had has probably died within like 2 months, right? So, but here's the thing. I want us to know about fruit and fruit trees and all this stuff. Fruit trees do not grow fruit for the sake of saying, hey, look at the fruit that I've grown. Obviously, they don't say that because they don't speak, but fruit trees don't, an apple tree doesn't grow and say, hey, look how shiny this red apple is. It's so shiny, I'm going to grow another apple. Fruit trees grow fruit for the sake of others. And when we meditate and we spend time in the presence of God and he changes us, it produces fruit in our lives. It's the work of the Holy Spirit inside of us that produces fruit, and that fruit is a chance to share with others what God has done in our lives. Paul says, let your roots grow down into him. The roots are for us and the fruit is for others. Let the roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. And then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. Well, why should we meditate? Well, there's wisdom. I believe there's wisdom in meditation. There's wisdom to be found in meditation. See, earlier, at the very beginning of the message, we looked at James 4, chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. And he says, so humble yourselves before the Lord, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. That's a promise in God's word. But right before that, James chapter 3, James, the half-brother of Jesus, talks about two different kinds of wisdom, the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of heaven. And right before he writes, humble yourself before the Lord, resist the devil, and he will flee from you, he talks about the two different kinds of wisdom that's found in the world and found in heaven. And he instructs us on what that wisdom looks like and why we should live it out, why we should seek that kind of wisdom. James chapter 3, verses 13, he says this. He says, if you are wise in understanding and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. In other words, hear God's voice and obey his word. Hear God's voice and obey his word. How do we know God's voice? How do we know his word? Well, we know it by spending time in it. As a high school youth pastor, one of the most common questions I get from students is, well, hey, how do you hear God's voice? I've never heard God's voice. How do I know what his voice sounds like? And I always tell them, hey, a lot of times we're looking for this audible voice. And it's a good question. It's a good-hearted question. But we're looking for this audible voice. And it's like, we will know the voice of God when we know the word of God. Because the word of God is inspired by the Spirit of God. And so when we read his word and we know his word, then we know his voice. We know the way that he's going to lead us when we know his word. So James says, if you're wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. And then he goes on to describe the wisdom of the world. He says, but if, and remember, he's talking to Christians here. He's not talking to a commonly split audience. He's speaking to people who know the way. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder of every evil kind. See, James is describing the old nature, what Jesus came to set us free from. So what did Jesus come to set us free from? Well, he came to set us free from spiritual death and to bring us into spiritual life, but to set us free from following the wisdom of the world. And how do we know what the wisdom of heaven is? It's through Christian meditation, through biblical meditation, meditating on God's word, hearing his voice, and obeying his word. And then he goes on to describe what the wisdom of heaven looks like. He says this, but the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving. That word peace, shalom, it's not just a greeting. Sometimes we say, hey, shalom, like greeting, shalom, hello. But peace, the biblical understanding of peace, is wholeness that only comes from God. It's loving peace. And where are we made whole? Well, it's in the presence of God. It's allowing him to step inside of us. It's allowing him to step inside of the mess inside of us, the ugly parts of us, the selfish ambition, the pride, the lying, the deceit, the things about us that if the world could see, if we were to put it on display for other people to see, we would be embarrassed. It's like, man, those are the parts of myself I don't want anyone to see, but the reality is there's still the work of the flesh in my life, and when I spend time in the presence of God and allow the Spirit of God to work on me, he'll reveal those parts about me and say, hey, I want to make you whole. I want to sanctify you by my truth, and my word is truth. We see that in John chapter 17. When we allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God to work on our hearts, that's when we'll be peace-loving. We'll see what it means to be peace-loving. The wisdom from above is gentle at all times and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. There's the fruit of good deeds that affects others. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere, and those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Why should we meditate? Well, there's wisdom. We can find the wisdom of heaven when we meditate on God, who he is, and what his word says. And as we kind of begin to close out our time today, here's a truth that we all have to realize and all understand. At every single point of every single day, we are always being led by something or someone. And the practice of meditation, and when we meditate on God and his word, and like early in the morning, when we meditate before we go and do anything else, everything, when we meditate, it's the practice of saying, God, I want you to lead me today. God, I want to be led by your voice and not the voices that I'm going to hear out there. God, I want to build my life on your word. God, lead me. Let my life, let my roots grow down into you. Give me the strength to obey what you show me by your Spirit and by your word. We're all being led by something or someone, and the practice of meditation is saying, God, I want you to lead me today. Because there's going to be voices competing for your attention. There's going to be voices telling you what you don't have and what you need to make your life whole again, right? And if you don't believe me, go to Facebook, right? Go to Facebook. And here's the thing, like this Facebook is weird, right? I'll be having a conversation with Carissa and say, hey, I need some more Pilot G2 pens. Those are like my favorite pens in the whole world. I'll be like, hey, I just need some of those new pens. I'm running out. And then I'll go on Facebook and I'll get 12 ads for Pilot G2 pens. Right, it's kind of weird how that works, right? But they're going to tell you what you need for your life. But the practice of meditation is saying, I'm going to find what I need from God before I go into the world that's going to not base their life on the wisdom that's found from heaven. So we've talked about what is meditation, why should we do it? We're going to talk real quickly, how do we meditate on God and his word? Well, it's simple in principle, but difficult in practice. What does it look like to meditate? Well, first off, we need to be still. To be still before God. To be still before him. It's to eliminate all distractions. Eliminate, like, remove my phone, remove the TV, remove the computer. Remove the things that are going to distract and divert my attention away from God. And to be still in the presence of him. And I get it. In practice, in principle, it sounds good. But it's like, hey, I'm a working professional, or I'm a stay-at-home mom, or I'm a college student, or I'm a high school student, I'm a middle school student. I've got so many things to do. What does it look like to be still, right? There's so many people that need me. What does it mean? What does it look like to be still? I'm not talking about being still for 2 hours a day. I'm saying maybe it's 1 minute, maybe it's 5 minutes, maybe it's 10 minutes before you go do anything else. Set a timer, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and be still in the presence of God and quiet. Now, here's the thing. Eastern meditation goes halfway. Christian meditation goes the whole way. Silence the thoughts, the things that are on your to-do list. Be still before God and say, God, I want you to minister to me today. I need you. Because if I go out from here today, I'm going to not be the version of myself that you're calling me to be. Spirit, work in my life. Be still before him. And a question I often ask in my right as I'm going into my time with God and be still is I often ask myself, what am I carrying into my time with God today? What am I carrying in with me? What burdens are on my heart? What are the things that if they don't get resolved today, right? If they don't get resolved, it's going to occupy most of my thoughts for the rest of the day. What is coming with you into your time with God? And once we've been still, once we're still in the presence of God, it's to know that he is God. Be still and know that I am God. When our lives get busy and we rush from thing to thing, it's easy to forget that he is God and he is on the throne. And when we sit and we meditate on the truth that he is God, And we think about that and we ponder that, it'll begin to change us. Be still and know that I'm God. What's coming into your time with God, but more importantly, who is coming out of that time with God? What is going in with you and who is coming out? Because I guarantee, as you continue to build this into your life, you'll begin to see God work in your heart. So all this is good in practice, and I could tell you, I could close the service out and say, hey, go meditate this week, but very rarely do we get the opportunity to directly put into practice the things that we talk about. And so today, what we're going to do to finish our time is we're going to actually have a moment to take a short moment where we actually practice meditating on God and his word. And so here, I kind of want to set this time up for us so that we can kind of know what's happening. So for a short moment, we're just gonna sit still in silence. And in that moment, I want us to silence the thoughts, silence what am I gonna have for lunch today? What do I gotta do? Get that stuff out of your mind and lay your burdens before the Lord. Bring the burdens, bring the things that are heavy on your heart before the Lord. And then after that moment's over, you're going to hear some music play, and then Nick Stanton, he's going to lead us through a guided Christian meditative practice.
Just stay in this moment right now here, in this place, with your eyes closed. And we have an opportunity to meet with Jesus here in this moment. And this is something that I've practiced, and I encourage you to take this as an exercise. My mind often wanders, and so it helps to meditate on God's word. But what I do is I take some deep breaths. So I just encourage you to take a deep breath in. As you inhale, hear the word be, and as you exhale, loved. be loved. Be loved. And now I'm going to encourage you to find in your sanctified imagination, Holy Spirit, come, give us sanctified imagination. Go to a place in your mind that is safe. Maybe it's a familiar place. Maybe it's a place where you vacationed, or a place in your home, a place that is safe. Just go there in your mind. And once you're in that safe place, and you can picture it, now I want you to invite Jesus into that place. Invite him in. What does he look like in your mind? How is he standing? What posture is he taking? What posture are you taking as he comes into the room, as he comes into that space? And now we need to have a divine exchange. What is something that you need to give over to him? That you need to hand over to him? Maybe it's some kind of bitterness, some kind of stress, a relationship. Maybe it's a wound. Maybe it's a memory. Maybe it's loss. What is it that you need to give over? Just place it at his feet. And now, what is it that he wants to give to you? What do you need to receive from him? He has something for you. Just receive that. And now I want you in your mind to hear him say, I love you. You are my child. You can meet with me here in this place anytime you need to. And you just tell him, I love you back. Thank you that you can meet with us. Thank you that as we draw near to you, Jesus, you will draw near to us. Pray that we would take moments of silence, take moments of meditation to reflect on your word, to reflect on your truth, and just how good you are. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.
If you were encouraged by today's message, be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts. For more information about the church or help taking next steps, please visit us at warsaw.cc or follow us on any of our social media channels. Thanks for joining us for this message and for listening to the Warsaw Community Church Podcast.